shadow. I got a feeling it's season that'll make me grow. I'm still breathing. I got praise in my lungs, in the choir in my soul. Can't steal my joy.
Well, we have been for 6 weeks now looking at this series called The Adventure, talking about what God has for us next as a church, talking in small groups as families and folks gather together in small groups and talking about what does it look like for God to take me on an adventure and to live on mission for God. We're finishing that series this week, and this is a week that we're going to consecrate ourselves before God. We're going to say, God, we're all in on this mission that you're taking us on. And so a part of that today, as we take communion at the end of the service, is to bring our pledge cards that are what we're pledging to this adventure campaign. That's above and beyond what we do our regular giving to enable all of the ministries to go forward. We're saying, nope, above and beyond that, God, we're going to commit to this. We're going to be all in together as families. Some of you have already done that online. You put your pledge, or some of you turned in a pledge. But today we want to even just symbolically just kind of lay this before God and pray over it together as we head into that. And so if you didn't grab one of these, you don't have one of these with you, there are some around the back. And as we get up to do communion at the end, you can go grab one, even if you just put your name on there and put it in as we kind of just pray over this to say, God, we're all in together. So that's what we'll do as we wrap up the service. Let me pray for us, and we're going to open the scripture together. Let me pray for us. God, meet us here. Speak to us. You gave us your word, and in this scripture, God, you spoke. And you didn't just speak to people thousands of years ago. You spoke to us. And we want to hear your voice today. So, Father, speak to us. Make it clear. Help us to understand it. And most of all, God, we want to be people that live it out. So would you help us to do that? We pray this in your holy name. Amen. We 6 weeks ago, when we started talking about this adventure together, and we met in here, we talked about what was coming, and then we gathered for some food afterwards and had lunch. Just the conversations around the table were exciting. There's this sense as a church that it's time. It's time for God to use us to reach the community around us. It's time for us to really pay attention to God's call and to run in that direction, and that we've got to. And so then over the last several weeks, I and our other pastors have been walking through the different pieces of this adventure with you. And now we're at this exciting moment. It's the end of a series, but it's the beginning of heading on this journey. We're at the start. And I was just thinking about the excitement of this moment, because I'm just looking out at the next 3 years and what's going to happen. And you'll see us in Arlington. We're going to build a building there. And that's going to open the door to hundreds and hundreds of more folks, right? There's a little bit over 100 folks that are there this morning. And in the next couple of years, you will see that grow to 300-400 people as we go. God, use us. We're opening the door for that to happen, and man, that's just exciting. And then I think about, as Ricky talked about, the bridge, and where we're going to really lean in and say, God, we're starting something new. That's just, we're saying, God, how do we reach this community, and how do we do that in a specific way? And I'm just praying, and I'm thinking, God, in the next few years, we're going to see a couple hundred people that'll be part of that haven't been part of this church home before, and that live in this community and yet are far from God. And not only will that be a mere miraculous thing to see that happen, but it's also going to impact all of us as it impacts who we are as a church and how we see our community and how we reach our community. And so I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to say, you know, we're going to do things that really take our facility here and say we want to make sure this is a welcoming space, whether that's simple things like making sure the church don't the seats in the chairs don't come off on your backside anymore. You know, we'll get updated seats. But just making sure that our welcoming spaces are welcoming and oriented towards folks who aren't here yet. And I'm praying for these chairs that are sitting next to you that are empty because God has a person that needs to be in that chair. And that over the next few years, as we look 2-3 years out, what is God going to do through us and how is God going to use us? And then to pray for how God takes us to the next place. That there's that next campus where God's already preparing people, where he's already got some of our folks that he's already embedded in some neighborhood that are missionaries there, and we just don't know it yet. And we're praying, God, what's the next campus? How are we going to impact that next community, and how are you going to use us? And I'm so excited that over the next few years, that's what you're going to start to see happen here. And we'll see it, and it'll feel like it starts off with all, you know, you'll be like, oh, I'm not sure. And it'll start off so slow, and then things will pick up, and then they'll slow down, and then they'll pick up, and then we'll hit a bump in the road, you know. And I'm like, I don't really know what it's all going to look like, but I'm a planner. I want to know every step. I want to know how it's all going to work. And we're going to step off in faith on this adventure together because God's called us to get moving, to get started, to jump in. And this is an incredible church family. We look back and we go, God has used us in the past. God has used us to impact families and change lives. And God's not done with us yet. And we're willing to say, let's take that step. But you know, the first step of any journey is a little bit nerve-wracking, right? And it's just a little bit treacherous. It made me think of this story. I've told you it before, but I was just reminded of it. I went camping with one of my boys several years back, and we went and we canoed down to this place called the Devil's Waterhole. And it was called the Devil's Waterhole because it had this high cliff that you could climb up and jump in. And it didn't look that scary from the bottom, you know. And it was just me and one of the boys, and Mama wasn't there. So we were doing man things, you know what I'm saying? And we were, you know, we were going to do this in tough guy stuff. And so we canoed over the cliff. We climbed up to this cliff. My son started to go and just jump off because he didn't know enough to be afraid. And he should have been, but he didn't. I said, you don't go first. You know, Dad will go first. I want to be down there, so I'm there to help you. So he backed up, and I walked up, brave, manly dad, showing my kids some stuff here. And I walked up to that edge, and I looked down, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's a lot higher. It's a lot further than I had imagined this. You know, that first step is going to be a doozy. And I'm processing in my brain. And just then I hear the little voice of my son behind me. Dad, why are your legs shaking? you know, I didn't eat enough breakfast. Be quiet, you know. I had to step off into the abyss. It feels like that level of excitement this morning as we're kind of stepping off. You know, Scripture is full of moments like this at the start of an adventure. And often one of the hardest things is just to get going, right? The whole idea of inertia is that, you know, once you're going, it's hard to stop you. But the problem is getting going. You got to overcome inertia to get going. And that first step can be so difficult that it takes you being called out. I have to be called out into a great need that God has. And we've heard that call as a church. This reminds me of that moment that we see in the book of Esther. And we'll look at that for just a minute this morning. Some of you will remember the story of Esther. This is an Old Testament book. The story of Esther is one where the people of Israel were in exile. They had been taken out of Jerusalem, and they were, many of them were living in the kingdom of Persia, not because they wanted to. In fact, generations had now lived in Persia, and they were always under constant threat in the kingdom of Persia. They were exiles there, but there was one young woman. Her name was Esther. And Esther was part of basically a beauty pageant, and she was invited to become part of the king's court. In fact, she was invited to become one of the king's wives. This was a thing that the Hebrew people saw and were kind of excited about. They were proud of her. And yet she kind of kept that under wraps that she was a Hebrew, one of the Hebrew children, because she was, you know, different, and they felt the pressure of this. Yet she was invited in, and she becomes one of the king's wives, the king of Persia. And about that time, this plot becomes known. There's a plot by one of the king's right-hand men, one of the very powerful men, to wipe out all of the Hebrew people. He said, all the problems that we're having in this country, they're because of them, and we're going to wipe them out. And this is a scary, scary moment for these fragile, really, people that lived in exile. And Esther had an uncle. His name was Mordecai. Mordecai realized this was a critical moment. And so Mordecai goes and he sends a message. He can't get directly to Esther. He's got to send it through a messenger, but he sends a message to Esther. And he says to Esther, he says, you've got to stand up. You're in a position where you can go plead our case before the king. You've got to do it. You know, we need this. This is a really, really critical. It's a key moment. You must. Now, the message comes back from Esther, back to Mordecai. And Esther says, you know that in this kingdom, the king has but one law for anyone that enters into his court, into his inner courts, that enters into his presence, that hasn't been called. If you haven't been summoned and you enter into the inner presence, there's but one law, and that is that you would be put to death, unless the scepter is leaned towards you and you're invited in. Basically, Esther says, this is a risky thing. I mean, this is so risky. There's no way this is going to work. It's not even lawful. I'll probably die. I just can't do this. It was that one of these moments of a calling, at being at the front end of a calling and not knowing what's God going to do in this moment. Mordecai, he sends back a message, and this is from the book of Esther, chapter 4. And we'll pick it up in verse 12. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn there. If you want, you can follow along on the screens. Esther chapter 4, verse 12. When Esther's words were reported back to Mordecai, he sent back an answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Some of the most classic words in Scripture. They may be familiar to you, but I want you to pause and think about the pressure of this moment. Here's this young woman, and she's being called on a mission, a journey that it has a potential to have a huge impact, but it just seems so scary, and rightfully so. And Mordecai says, God's going to do his work. He's going to do his mission. God's going to complete his mission, and you just get the opportunity to be involved with this or not, right? God's going to continue doing his work, but you get the chance to be involved. And this is a critical moment. And then he says to her, look, God put you here for this. God gave you the skills that he gave you. God put you in the family that he put you in. He put you in the situation that he put you in. He gave you the resources that you have. God actually wired you just for this moment right now. Who knows? But that you were put here for just such a moment as this, this incredible moment. But don't miss that he says, who knows before it, right? That's not the original Hebrew, you know, but it's the same idea. He's saying, hey, but there is risk here. Like, this is a risk. It is a risk. Like, to follow God is an exciting thing, and it's an awesome thing, and it's what you want to do, and you get to be a part of the mission, but there is a risk. We don't know how it's all going to go. We don't know how it's all going to pan out. There's a risk-taking involved in this. When we started this series, we had an interview from Pastor Dave Shever, our founding pastor, who told us it takes risk to be the church that God's called us to be. It takes risk that we have to step. That first step's often hard, but we're going to do it. You know, I like the idea of change. I like the idea of things going, you know, like, oh, God really needs to bless this church and this community. And I like to talk a big game. God's got to do it through us. He's going to make an impact. He's going to make a difference. I'll talk a big picture stuff. But then when we make the reality of like, well, then we need to do this. Like, we've got to start. We need to invest here. We have to make this tweak or this change. We actually have to go forward and take a step. I feel my legs shaking at that point. You know what I'm saying? I get on the edge, my legs just shaking. But God calls us to this moment, just like he does for so many all through Scripture. The story of Esther then continues. She says to Mordecai, okay, this is verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when it is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I love those words. This brave young woman. I'm going to go. Now, she said, go and pray. That's what we've been doing for the last few days, right? We started on Ash Wednesday, and we gathered, and we prayed, and we set this mission before God, and then we committed the next 50 hours around the clock to praying, and we did that as a congregation, both campuses, around the clock, praying. We're praying for what God's going to do over these next 50 years because of the decisions that we make today and at this moment, and because of the actions that we start to take. We consecrated this. We put it to prayer, and then we gathered on Friday and did a worship night and celebration on both campuses because we said, we're praying, we're bathing this in prayer. We're saying, God, we don't want to take one step if you don't lead us. But then you got to step. Then you have to have that bravery of if I perish, I perish. Now, what I would love to say is that then if you take that step and you head on that journey, then it's going to be smooth sailing. And the minute we step out, we're going to do that today. We're going to step out. We're going to step forward. But then after we step forward, then everything's going to go perfectly. The problem with that is the example of the Apostle Paul, right? We've been looking at him throughout this series a little bit here and there. We've been talking about Paul. Paul's the guy that planted churches all over the Roman world, all over the known world. He because of the churches he planted, there were churches that were outside of the Jewish faith. Because of that, we're here today because of what Paul did. Paul's call, remember, he kind of got a knockdown kind of call. God called him, said, why are you persecuting me? And he had a life change. But then there were 13 years of just nothing, and he was just waiting, and God was working in his heart before God put him in any kind of leadership position. And finally, Barnabas knocks on his door and says, you got to come up to Antioch. God's doing something, and I need you here. And Paul takes that step. He takes that first step and goes to Antioch. And in Antioch, he's prayed over and blessed and ministers, and then he partners with different guys. He partners with Barnabas and John Mark and Timothy, and those teams go off and plant churches all over the known world. So it's really just this incredible, incredible story. And when I look at it, I see the way that God used Paul, and I see the way that God blessed Paul's ministry. I see the impact that it had and the lives that were changed. I get really excited about that. But the problem is, there's the other part of Paul's story. You see, not only did Paul plant churches and impact lives, but he was also imprisoned at Caesarea. And he was stoned at Lystra. And he was shipwrecked in Malta. And the list just goes on and on and on. You know, I like to measure, like, am I in God's will? Am I on God's mission? Am I doing what God's called me to do? I like to measure that by if things are going well, you know? Like, if things are going really well, I go, oh, I must be doing what God, if people are really excited about it, oh, this must be what God wants us to do. If I feel seems fun, you know, and it's happening and there's energy around it, I go, God's got this. If doors keep opening, right? Sometimes we use that as a marker. We go, well, God just opened, the door is open, so God must be behind it. And sometimes God does speak to us that way, and sometimes God does, but other times people hit obstacles when they take off on a journey. Other times, doors are shut. Other times, you end up in prison in Caesarea. stoned in Lystra. Stoned. That was a punishment they would use in the ancient world. They'd pick up stones and throw it to someone. Often throw it at a person. It was often a death sentence. Paul survived that. There will be times over these next few years when we have to stay the course. Like there's the excitement of starting and stepping in. That's a hard time. It's hard to get the momentum to step, that first step. That's hard. You know what else is hard? Step number 672. Step number 815, you know. 1,112, you know. What I mean, those are hard. Those are some hard steps that happen ahead. Listen to what Paul says. He's writing to the church in Corinth. This is one of the churches that he spent so much time working with and coaching and pastoring. And he writes to them in 2 Corinthians. And right at the beginning of the chapter, he starts talking about how God is a God of compassion, and God shows compassion even when things are tough, and how God's filled him with compassion so that he can minister to the people in Corinth with that same compassion. And it's a moment there where he's talking about God's blessing, but then he goes on to say this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver." The Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to be misinformed about this journey, about the adventure. There was a moment when the pressure was so great, it was more than we could handle. We even despaired of life. That's a low moment. This is the apostle who planted the churches. Like the story of the book of Acts is a story of the Holy Spirit working through the apostle Paul. I mean, his journey, if you want to look at what it means to be on mission and live a life on mission, it would be the apostle Paul. And he says there was a moment when the pressure was so great, we couldn't, it was beyond our ability to withstand it even. We despaired even of life itself. There's this stick-to-itiveness, though. There's this sense that Paul says, but wait a minute, it's God, not me. It's the Holy Spirit at work. It's the Holy Spirit in me. In fact, he says, I was able to see that because when I realized that I couldn't do it, I couldn't pull it off myself, that's when I had to rely on God. That's when I had to recognize that it's God's work in me and through me. And Paul hangs in there. That's one of the great New Testament words, hang in there. I've told you that one before, right? The Greek word is hupomeno. It's just a good one. Hang in there. Hang on. Hold fast. Hupomeno. Paul says, not only was the first step hard, but the 672nd step, that's a hard one, and the 815th step, it was almost impossible, but we hung in, and it turned us back to God. And we got to see that it was God who was at work, and it's in God that I put my hope. This is the picture that we get of what it means to be on a journey. And then Paul says, he hung in, and he got to be on God's mission. And guys, that's what we get to do next. We get to be a part of God's mission. I want you to see for just a second what's going on in Arlington. They're this morning, they're taking a look and they're praying because this building is going to come up out of the ground. And we're going to talk about the other things that God is going to do in us. But I want you to get that we're on this threshold. We're at this beginning. We're starting down a path. It's going to be exciting and exhilarating. There are going to be some bumps. There are going to be some moments when things don't go exactly the way I planned them. I have great charts. You can look at my chart. They're perfect. It's just not going to work that way, you know? But that's how I want it to work, right? But I can tell you this. No matter what ups and downs we go through, as we step into mission with God, God will be faithful to us. Let's look at what's going on in Arlington this morning.
Good morning, Cordova. Pastor Diana here from the Arlington campus to say hello, and I have exciting news. This morning at the Arlington campus, we're doing a big reveal of the location of the new building and how big it will be. We're going to go outside in between the two services in Arlington, and we are going to show them a roped off section of where the building is going to be. We're going to stand around it, and we're going to be praying this morning. And I wanted you to experience the big reveal with us as well. So this is the space. It's exciting that we have found that this is the space on our campus, because over the last several years, we've been putting it in different places around the campus for different reasons. The reason we landed in this place at this time is because we think it'll be most effective for ministry here in Arlington. Now, over the next 2 years, that building might move a little bit here or there, but the really important part for us to be thinking about right now is to envision hundreds of people coming to Christ, people who are far from God right now, being invited to a church where they can find Jesus. We are thrilled that we have the ability to build a building right here in Arlington. Arlington is a growing community where people are moving in and looking for a church home, and we will have a space that will fit over 300 people to worship on a Sunday morning. That's with one service. So we could even grow to be a 600-person church. This is exciting because God wants to reach the lost, but he also wants to disciple those who have found Jesus. And he wants to equip each one of us to be able to go out and do the work and the service that he's called us to do so that we can further his kingdom. So here's our next 2 to 3 year plan. Over the next 2 years, while the building is being built, we are going to work really hard, partnering with Jesus, inviting our friends and family to be a part of the family of Advent. We hope to grow from a congregation of just over 100 people to 200 people right as that building is ready to be opened. Because in the life of a church, when you hit 200, it's usually really hard to move past the 200 mark. You need a catalyst, and our catalyst will be the new building. This is so exciting, and I want to say thank you for being willing to be on the adventure for the next 3 years as we all are giving our gifts to God and allowing him to bless them, multiply them, and then hand it back to us to be a part of what he's doing.
We are, so this morning that group's going to gather. It's kind of between the two existing buildings as we say, hey, God, we know you're raising something up here. We're going to reach people in that community. And we're doing the same thing here. We're saying, God, we know you want to reach people in this community. So in the next few minutes, we're going to take communion together, and we're going to grab these pledge cards. And you can run and grab one from the back if you don't have one. And we'll put these in a basket, and we're going to pray for them. This matters because it's a symbolic thing, right? This is a thing where we say, God, we want to be a part of what you're doing. And we want to do that together. That's going to take our finances. And for us to get there, to be able to do this mission, we got to dig deep. And that's just a big thing. We got to give over and above what we're already doing. And so my family's had to have all kinds of conversation. Okay, what can we do? And we write that thing down and sign it. And we're saying, God, we're in. But it's not just financial. It's also our time. It's our talent and treasures, right? Time, talent, and treasure. That we're going to say, God, we're going to be a church on mission. We're going to make decisions for those who are not here yet. So we're going to do that in Arlington. And then today we're thinking and praying about, God, what are you going to do through the bridge? And as we start to reach people in this community, hundreds of people whose families are turning towards God, whose lives are changed, and we get to be a part of that. And we're saying, hey, how can we make sure that we're more welcoming in everything that we do? We're outreach focused and oriented. And then once people get here, we're going to help them feel connected. You know, it's incredible to be part of groups this year, and so many of you did that. In the years to come, we're just going to build that into the rhythm of who we are as a church, because we want to be a church where everybody's name is known, where we don't just talk about faith on Sunday, but that we have a chance to build relationships, to connect with each other, and pursue faith in relationship with each other. And we're going to say then, God, where's next? Because God doesn't want us just to sit and be like, okay, well, that's good enough. But we're going to pray that prayer. God, where's next? We're gonna set ourselves up to be able to do that. Guys, the decisions that we make as we step forward today, those are decisions that have a 50-year impact. And as I look at the chairs, you know, that are next to us, the ones that are empty, and I go, God, who do you have for this chair? God, whose life do you want to impact through what we do today? I'm going to lead us in communion, and we'll, as we come forward, take communion. You can put your pledge card in there as well, and then we'll pray over these. It was one night around a table that Jesus, he invited his disciples to participate, not just in the meal with him, but in his life, even in his very body, and in his ministry. Scripture says it was on the night that he was betrayed, they took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then he took the cup and he poured it out. He said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." It's the cup of the new covenant. As often as you eat this bread and you drink from this cup, he said, "Do so remembering me." And in that way, he invited these disciples into the mission with them. They had no idea what step they were taking. They didn't know what the first step was going to look like. They didn't know what the 652nd step was going to look like. But they knew that God would be with them, that they were stepping into the mission with him. Let me pray for us today, and as I pray, our elders are going to come forward and stand at the stations. Each one of these stations has, a little two cups. Bottom cup has the bread. The top cup has the juice. This is not Advent Church's table. It's not a Presbyterian table. It's God's table. If you have faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to take part in communion today. If that's not where you're at, that's okay, and it's okay to sit this one out. And then as you come forward, they're going to remind you, this is God's body and blood that was given for you. You can take communion right here and head back to your seat. You can drop your card in the basket, and we're just going to have a holy moment. This is going to be a holy moment for us as a church together. Let me pray for us. Father, we come to your table and we approach it carefully. We approach it with humility. God, we're amazed that you would invite us, like someone like me, to come to your table, to be in your presence, and to be a part of your mission. And you've invited our church. So God, as we take this communion, we're participating in the mission that you've given us as a church. And we just can't believe that you would use a church like us, but you've invited us. And so we're coming forward, broken and fallen as we are. Would you meet us? Would you take these common elements, this juice and this bread, and set them aside for your holy purpose? Would you grab hold of our hearts? Would you grab hold of us as a church? Would you use us? God, would you use us to impact this community and the communities around here to change lives? God, you've invited us to be a part. And so we come and we give ourselves wholly to you. Everything that we've got, God, we give you our lives, we give you our finances, we give you our decisions. God, we give you our time, we give you our hearts. Would you take us, Father? We pray this in your holy name. Amen.